Hey y'all, it's me again, Bonnie Violet. I just wanted to take a second and thank my Patreon members. Patreon members are folks who contribute on a monthly basis anywhere from $3 to $150 a month to support the work of a queer chaplain. Big shout out to Victoria Thompson, Jason Brandt, Brandon Stanton, Kim Silva, Brandy McCarg, Randy Sandknot, Bob Kaiser, Joey Huckmeister, Violet Rhiannon, Gabriel, Jonathan, Patrick, and Todd Atkins-Whitley. Thank you so much for your continued contributions. And if you're interested in joining the Patreon, just check the link in the description. Go to patreon.com/BonnieViolet. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Psalm 42, 1-2. As a heart longs for following streams, so longs my soul for thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? It's taking a second to get myself ready here. How's everybody doing? Yeah, that's real, right? That's real. I get that. first of all, thank you all for inviting me to be in your space this evening. I was really moved by, there's like this singing is great in this room. So I was really enjoying just sitting in the sound bath of your voices. So thank you so much for singing out loud. I'm one of those, I tap into my drag queen, I think, skills, and I lip sync when it comes to singing in public. But I appreciate hearing, right? I appreciate hearing y'all. So today I wanted to talk a little bit about the desire of one's heart, or the desire of my heart. And it was initially sparked on by a song by Miss Flamie Grant, who is a new Christian drag queen artist. She's not new, she's just kind of coming up. And it's called Desire of Your Heart, and it's about a story about Flamie Grant singing to her inner child, like it's her inner child, basically, kind of talking about how I've always been here, and now we're actually like one, we're actually like together. And so in some ways, that's kind of what pushed me in this direction. I've also, one thing that I've always been is a seeker of God. I haven't always, that's looked very different at different times of my life. And I kind of wanted to share a little bit about what that has been for me. When I grew up in a small town in Wendell, Idaho, which I just flew in from Idaho last night to be here. And I grew up in a trailer house, and one of the first queer things I did was I went to church. My family were not church going folk. And I was a little odd in the sense that I went to church and I loved going to church. I don't remember a lot of my childhood, but I do recall my time in church. And as I got older, church was, it was a safe place for me. I didn't always feel comfortable at home. My father was a drug addict until I was about 12, and it was just really hard for me to be at home. I wasn't, you know, I was assigned male at birth, and I was not that manly. And my dad had a really hard time with that. And I don't even think he realized, like, I don't think we realized fully what was happening there. Like, I know I didn't. But it was really hard for me to be home, and I felt like I could never quite do right. So it was just, I just didn't know how to express myself, and I didn't know how to be in a way that was acceptable to my father. And then at school, I also just had a hard time at school too. I was like the trailer kid, you know, non-Mormon, non-Catholic, in a very Mormon Catholic town. And so I had a lot of the little ticks against me. And so church was like, it's where I could be cool, you know, and I loved it. I'd always felt from a really young age It's weird. Like I said, I don't really remember a lot of my childhood, but for some reason, I always had deep within me this belief that I was meant to impact the world for God, which sounds like really, like I was a little cringy about sharing that. But like, even when I was a kid, and it's weird, it's almost more of like a vision than a dream. And again, I can't really vision things in my mind, but for whatever reason, I have this very clear in my mind. And basically it's like, I'm watching a TV and like I die and the world is sad, which seems a little egotistical, I know, but it just kind of felt like people were going to be moved when I died. And that was something that really landed on my heart when I was young. And I think getting into church then really kind of fed into that, especially like in a Jesus, like saving people for Jesus kind of church. I love that shit. You know, I loved it. I loved Jesus. I loved bringing other people to Jesus. And it was just something that I just ate it up. 16, I got baptized and, I just was really into it, you know? And then I graduated high school. I moved out to Phoenix, Arizona. And then all of a sudden I realized I was a faggot with AIDS. And I say that because that was my experience of myself. I hadn't really even come out yet. I was super involved in church in Phoenix and I was diagnosed, I was infected with HIV at 19. And I found out before I even came out. And so it was the first time I could have gotten HIV and I got it. And it was my first test. I just didn't know anything. And I wanted to go to my church because my church has always been like my place. And I didn't feel like I could really bring all of myself to that church. I had a lot of my own shame. I believed they wouldn't accept me or love me anymore. And there were parts about myself that I hadn't even really come to understand myself enough, but it was definitely not something that I had brought to church, nor did I see other people in church bringing it. Not out loud. There were obviously lots of us around the room, but it was definitely something that was not talked about. And my relationship with God changed drastically. And I lacked the capacity to have a awareness of God, like as a profound relationship with God in my life at that time. I couldn't understand how God could love me anyway. I was ashamed that I was gay. I didn't know how not to be. I felt like I had fucked up my mission in my life by getting HIV, and I just could not understand how God could love me anymore and or forgive me or any of that sort of thing. And so I just didn't have the capacity for it. So I kind of just put God away. And there was a part of me inside that kind of knew that it would be okay, but I really didn't know how to wrap my head around it. And so I landed in queer nightlife and really learned what it meant to be gay and queer. And I believe God introduced drugs and alcohol and all these flamboyant people in my life to really help me find a way to really just land in myself and celebrate myself and just know that also that I didn't have to be alone and that I could be loved and, you know, all of this sort of great things kind of happened. And so, but through that experience, I didn't really have like a God. I wasn't trying to save people for Jesus. I wasn't, you know, like I didn't realize I was really in a calling, if you will. I can now look back on my life and see where God was at play and see what my relationship was actually really deep and great with God. I just found new ways of connecting with God and experiencing God. And I couldn't call it God at the time because I didn't think I was allowed to, you know, and that's something that's been really helpful for me to be able to go back in my life and call things God that I could never call before, you know, and sometimes it was that ecstasy pill, or it was dancing until 4 a.m. at the club, or, you know, it was a lot of different things. And I'm not condoning or saying, hey, go do that. But I am grateful because it softened the blow of life for me. And God could no longer do that for me, or I could no longer allow God to do that for me in the way that I had allowed God to do that before. I mentioned my dad was an addict, and he had always called God my crutch. Marijuana was his and God was mine. And I resented him for that because I was like, no, it's not a crutch. I don't need God, but I did, but I didn't, you know. It was like this weird sort of experience. But I definitely feel like, I definitely realized at that moment that God, without God, I realized I didn't have that crutch, and drugs and alcohol kind of came into play. And then when I didn't have church anymore, I had community and bars and clubs and raves and house parties, you know, because I couldn't find that connection at church. I couldn't be the cool kid at church. I couldn't, you know, like grow and really live in church like I used to. And so at some point in time, so that was kind of like my relationship with God for a little while. And then, you know, like what happens with a lot of us who end up using drugs and alcohol for funsies, it ends up not being so funsies anymore. And thankfully for me at that time, I was able to find myself in a group of queer people who were no longer using drugs and alcohol. And they mentioned God. And I was like, what the, like, no, like queer people can't have God, like that doesn't work, you know? And I don't know that I really even believed I had a problem with drugs and alcohol, but I was so intrigued by this idea that queer people and other people who, you know, are not worthy of God could talk about this like relationship with God in a way that was useful and helpful. And they were living lives that I didn't think were possible for a person like me. And I was just so intrigued by that. And the God that I came to know in those rooms with those people was not Jesus, was not the God I grew up in church. I still didn't feel like I could go back to that church or that space in order to really connect with God. Like God wasn't there for me anymore. Now I can say God is in church for me now, but there was a time when that couldn't happen. I eventually landed in a church and was able to sit in church and cry and be in pain and heal long enough to where I could really have a liberative experience with God instead of a shameful, unworthy kind of experience. To kind of label this a little bit differently, I think, you know, there was much of my life. One of the things I was trying to think about, like for all of us to be thinking about, is like, why have I continued to seek God? And I've always had that seeking, and that seeking, I think, in an earnest, desirable way. However, it hasn't always been the feeling or the characteristic that was leading the way. So like I had some desire back here, but desperation was like, give it to me. Like, God, I need you. Like, I really need you, God, because all these other people suck and they can't show up for me. And like, I need you because I got nothing else, you know? And for a while that was kind of like the way that I went to God, or I went to God because I didn't know how to do life anymore. Like I didn't know how to get the results in life that I needed to get. And so like I got God in order to increase my capacity to like do more and experience more and be better. And so God was something that I'd went to kind of like, again, increase my capacity. And through that, I was learning that I was getting better results when I was doing it with God versus on my own. I was actually getting the results that I was shooting for. And sometimes I wasn't getting those results, but I was getting even better results because I lacked the imagination and the belief of what I could truly have in life. Because looking around me, I didn't know what was possible for a person like me. And so it was God put people in my life. I was able to get into other cities. I lived in Chicago for a while. I lived in the Bay for a while. And I began to see there were so many more ways for me to live and be. And one of the more recent things that have pulled me and drawn me to God is a spiritual awakening. And spiritual awakening was me changing my name to Bonnie Violet and asking you to do the same. I believe that is a direct result of my relationship with God and a direct result of me wanting to live in my spiritual truth and my path. Me identifying as a transgender person right now in this moment in time, I believe is my calling. I believe it is what God created me to be and continues to create me to be. God didn't create me once and say, I'm done. God is my creator today, tomorrow, and the next day. And one of the things that I love about my relationship with God now is that I am a co-creator with God. You know, like before, God just did what he wanted with me, right? And everyone else did what they wanted with me. And then I was just left with whatever was left. Exactly. Because I didn't know that I could be different. I was just a product of everything that else that had happened to me, everything that everyone had told me about me and people like me, and all the things I began to do to me as well. Exactly. And now I am a co-creator with God. And that does not mean that, like, life happens. So things are going to happen to me that I didn't want or didn't like. But that's okay, because with God and with people of God, I can work through there and create something beautiful from that versus being stuck in like trauma or pain, or which that is part of the process. But I don't have to live into that state of victimization. Try to check myself on time here. When I was thinking about this topic and just thinking about my life with God and how to talk about it to y'all in a way that made sense to you, there were so many like things that I could talk about and spend time on, and I just prayed a lot. It just was like, just show up and just share what comes out and trust that you said what needed to be said, you know? And I just want to remind myself of that right now, because I was starting to get in my head a little bit about some things. But just to kind of bring it back home as far as like my relationship with God now, and, you know, this As the Deer Panteth song is one song that has stuck with me through my entire life. Those nights after I got raped and I was in the shower, or I was high, or I just was crying in the bottom of the tub, this would be the song that I actually sang out loud. I wasn't lip syncing it. And this was my prayer when I couldn't pray anything else. And so As the Deer Panteth, that song, and in the way that you sang it, is exactly the way that I tap into still and channel God. And not only just in those states of like pain on the bottom of the shower, but actually in the moments of joy, the moments before I come to church to share my experience, and the moments that I marry a couple, or in the moments that I get to see my mom finally, you know, like those sorts of things are like, again, this is a song and a prayer and a desire that I have always. I've kind of asked myself why do I still seek God? Like, why am I still a seeker? I guess there's a part of me in my life that you think, like, I don't know, there's been plenty of things in my life that I've went and done and did, and then I think I got everything that I could get from that, and so like I'm done. Like, now what, you know? And with God, it hasn't quite worked that way, thankfully. I've come to, and especially I think because of my religious trauma and stuff, I have a really hard time knowing exactly what God is and Jesus and church. And like I'm still kind of figuring a lot of that out, to be honest. It's still a little painful at times, or I don't know how it fits. I say God often fails me. I know that's blasphemous, but it's not God that fails me, but it's my understanding of God that fails me. And that in some ways is a gift, because I know I've had a different experience. So like I have an experience with God I have a connection with God. I have a connection with God that allows me to connect with you and allows me to understand that the way that I live my life impacts you. And because of that, I might want to be a little mindful, you know? And I don't know how all that works. Like, it's like beyond my pay grade, you know, like I don't have the capacity for that, but I do have a belief and a knowing that that is the truth. I just don't know how to do that. And so when I come to a place where I feel like God is failing me, it's not God that's failing me, because I already know God and I already know the capability and the capacity of God, even if I can't put it in words, right? And so like, I know that. And so if I'm having that experience where God is failing me, I got to figure out how not to see it that way anymore. And that's usually where you all come into play. You know, I love talking with people about their experience with spirituality and God and what that looks like to them. What do they call their God? How do they go to their God? What has their experience been? Because that allows me, it expands my understanding of God, which if even just for a minute, I can, you know, God can become a little bit bigger. And that helps me out, you know? And so I interview a lot of drag queens and drag kings and trans people in particular about their spiritual experience, because that helps me own the truth that my transgender identity is a spiritual awakening and is me living into what God is creating me to be. And I say I'm trans, femme, gender queer, and I identify as transgender because those are the words and the language that we have for this day and time that don't quite fit exactly, but it's the closest thing. And so again, and there's like this knowing and there's this truth, there's this God. And the thing that I love about God now too, is that I am a part of God. I think God was always this thing that I had to go to. Was always this thing outside of me. And one of the things that I'm having this new relationship with God is realizing that I also am a piece of God. I am a part of God. And in that, I began to have a better relationship with myself. I started transitioning and I'm actually embodied. I'm actually living in my body for the first time in my life at 40 some years old. Like, I knew that I wasn't in my body. I knew that I was living up here. But once I landed in this bitch, sorry, like I really know what it's like. I really know what it means to be embodied. And so like, I am so grateful for that. And again, that's because I think my spirit has always been this, and she's had to stay deep within. And that's not even in my body. She was actually just here. And so I love that now my spirit is animating my body in a way with God that gives me life and it gives you life too. And that's like saving people for Jesus, right? just with a little bit different language. And that's one of the things that I continue to be able to like take moments in my life and look back and see that the truth that I had always known is still true today. Just doesn't quite look like, sound like, and isn't where I always believed it would be, with the names, with the language, with the people. And for that, I am grateful, because I could only see so much for my life as a kid or as a 20-year-old or a 30-year-old and a 40-year-old. And with the help of God and you all, I can begin to know that there's so much more than that. And I think I'm going to leave it at that. But I guess the takeaway or the thought is to maybe think about or meditate this week or this afternoon is really, what is pushing you and pulling you to God? And what is your posture? And where is God in position to you through that experience of seeking God? So you can think of the P's: push, pull, position. And there was another one. This is a test. Pushed, pull, position, and posture. So hopefully you took something from what I was able to share with you all today. Thank you so very much. And I wish you all a good day. Bye-bye.
As we prepare for communion, I just want to thank Bonnie for sharing, telling your story. It was very moving, meaningful. There were many things that you said that resonated with me. And, you know, we have very different backgrounds and experiences, but I can stand here today and also say that, you know, all the experiences that I had looking back, I can see where God was in them and brought me to this place. And I'm grateful. So thank you for sharing. One of the things that you said resonated a lot with me as being a co-creator with God. You know, I think sometimes many people feel like, you know, there's something wrong over here. God, you need to step in and do something. And, you know, that's kind of how we sometimes live our lives. And I think that God does not want to, isn't able to, I'm not sure, just directly intervene. It's up to us.
Hey y'all, Bonnie Violet here again. Just wanted to take a second to let you know about Splintered Grace Podcast. Splintered Grace Podcast just completed its fifth season entitled Still Seeking. Splintered Grace is a podcast that I co-host with my aunt, who is a conservative Christian and one of my biggest supporters in my trans identity and just life in general. While many family members are choosing to no longer speak, we have chosen to sit at the table and engage in difficult conversations to find peace and restoration. Over our 24-year relationship, we have had a lot of ups and downs, and we haven't always really liked each other. We definitely never understood each other, and still some of it we don't, but we love one another so much and so hard and really work hard to show up for one another. And our hope is that by listening to this podcast, others may be able to begin to have peace and restoration in some of their other relationships with family members and or other loved ones. Check it out, Splintered Grace Podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts or on YouTube. Take care. Love ya. Bye.